All right, episode two of Gone Rogue with Greg and Kate.
Hey, hey.
We need a little music intro or something. It's like with Greg and Kate. Okay, so first episode, we talked about the rules of our open relationship. What we're going to do with this episode is we're going to answer some questions that we got, specifically around how people that are monogamous can start transitioning or exploring and experimenting with non-monogamy, as well as how we set up our dating profiles and how we tell other people that we're dating that we're non-monogamous slash that we already have partners. And then what we're really going to talk about, the juicy stuff, is I'm just going to throw MDM, G-Man, Mr. Greg Wolf, questions about sex toys. And then we're just going to openly discuss.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, I don't know if you're pumped on this plan. No. It's a very loosely formatted plan. You're like, oh, fuck. Okay, so I'm going to play the first question that we got.
Hi guys, I have been following Kate on Instagram for quite a number of months now, and since following you, Kate, I've always watched your stories on non-monogamy and on dating, and you've really opened my eyes to a totally different area of dating that I never really thought about before, because I have always been in monogamous relationships. And like you said in your first podcast, that's kind of something that we've just been programmed to, I guess, conform to. So what advice could you give to those of us who have always been in monogamous relationships and are really looking to experiment with non-monogamy?
Okay. You want to break this up into two different categories, which I think applies, because it sounds like she's always been in monogamous relationships, possibly isn't currently in a relationship, and might want to head down the path of meeting people and potentially being non-monogamous. So if it's someone who's in that position, not currently in a relationship, what are the early steps that you would tell them to take?
Yeah, I think it's a much easier position to start from. Obviously, if you're a single person, you're dating, you're seeing people anyway. A lot of people that are casually dating are a lot of the time seeing multiple people anyway. And for me, I think it's just being honest and open about that and starting to practice that and talk to people and say, hey, I'm actually still dating other people, and just starting out there. Yeah. So if you meet someone dating on a dating app or whatever, and then someone else comes along, just being open with both the new person and the person you're currently dating, or even just saying things like, hey, I'm actually interested in non-monogamy. I'm interested in still dating other people. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, and I think it doesn't have to be as formal as that when you're talking to people. Like, something that I do when I'm talking to people online is I tell them about the dates that I've been on. So rather than being like, I just want to let you know that like I'm going to date other people and are you okay with that? It's like, oh, I have a date on Thursday night and like I'm kind of like really looking forward to it. Even when someone's asking me like when I'm free, I'm like, oh, well, I'm not free this night because I'm seeing someone else. Or, hey, like I was out last night. Sorry, I didn't get back to you. I had this really fun date, And just kind of almost using that as a way to gear where someone's at with that and how comfortable they are with that.
Yeah, and I think at some point in that, that person will likely, you know, I think you still, if you're dating someone who is monogamous in that situation, so the guy is very monogamous in that, I think the sooner you can bring that conversation up to be like, hey, like monogamy isn't something that I'm completely set on. You know, you might get a guy that has an instant reaction that's like, oh no, that's terrible, like I couldn't do that, or someone that goes, hey, yeah, cool, like I've thought about that too, or have the hard conversation, like have those interesting conversations. Like, we had conversations around some of that stuff in our first conversation, I think, just around beliefs around relationships and what we wanted to do. So yeah, I think it depends on the person a little bit, but yeah, for me, in the past, when I've introduced that as an idea, I've just sort of said, hey, this is something that kind of interests me, like, are you dating other people? Or even trying to get them to talk about what they're doing as far as dating, and to even not being like, I'm asking because I want you to commit to this.
Yeah.
You know, I've had that in the past where a couple of dates in with people, I think you've had questions around the same kind of thing where people ask a question after a couple of dates saying, hey, I want to know where this is going. It's almost the reverse of that, to be like, hey, I just want you to know I'm really enjoying hanging out with you, but I'm also interested in still dating other people. You know, yeah. I just want to understand, hey, that's what I want. You know, I think the Matthew Hussey video that you showed me a long time ago, that telling them what you want, don't just wait for them to come to you. Be like, and I think a lot of this is that practice of just being open and honest to say, hey, this is what I'm looking for and I want you to know that.
Yeah, I think that's telling them what you're after. I think you always tell me about new conversations that you have with people where you're like, hey, what is it that you're looking for? And I think even that can be a bit vague. Like, what are you looking for? It's like, what angle is that question coming from? Because I definitely think for myself, if I've been in a place where I'm looking for something a little bit more serious, or I'm definitely after a one-night stand, like if I'm looking for something really casual, it's like I'll gear my answer depending on where I'm at. And being able to say to someone like, what kind of connection are you after right now? Or like, what kind of people are you looking to meet? And what kind of like relationships do you want? Is it, and even almost offering the answer, like, are you looking for something more casual? Are you looking for something that's going to be ongoing? Are you looking for friends with benefits? And also almost giving them the vernacular to be able to articulate their answer. Because I think saying like, what do you want? What are you looking for? Like it can, especially if you're talking to someone who does kind of want a relationship, like I think that it almost destroys the opportunity to have something that's casual in a way. If it is a little bit like, tell me what you want. And they're like, oh, well, I'm kind of looking for a relationship. And it's like, well, maybe they are okay with just hanging out and it being casual and you seeing other people and them seeing other people in the meantime. And then if they were to meet someone that they wanted to be monogamous with, then they can. So I think giving them a little bit of a, giving people the words to use to express what they want can be helpful for sure.
Yeah. And I think that's why I like just saying what you want works. Like, I think it's so easy to get dragged into just what the other person wants. You know, I think it's really easy for someone to say, hey, like, I like you, I want to be in a relationship with you. And you're like, oh, okay, yeah, cool. And you just go along with that. And then all of a sudden you're in a relationship. You haven't had the conversation about either non-monogamy or monogamy. You know, so I think by, yeah, just trying to be really upfront with people to be like, or yeah, from the start, hey, this is an idea I'm interested in. Have you ever thought about this? Like, what are you sort of looking for? So I think trying to, yeah, maybe just talk about what it is. And I think if you find someone that aligns with the way you think or someone that's interested in that, like I said, you'll get a pretty quick gauge if you suggest non-monogamy to someone and judge their reaction. You know, if they get super jealous, super ragey, it's like, okay, they're probably not going to be the person that's going to work with. But if there's someone that's like, hey, that's cool. Like, yeah, I'm open to, I'm seeing other people as well, and just go with the flow into that.
Yeah, exactly. I think the way that you talk about other people or talking to other people or other dates or whatever's going on gives the other person a model of how you handle that topic. And if you are really secretive about it, or you don't mention it, or you don't go into detail, they will probably respond with the same thing. They'll be a little bit more shut down around that topic potentially. So I think that the more that you can talk about it openly and be relaxed about it, it makes it kind of territory that's comfortable to talk about because they know that you're comfortable talking about it. So I think you can definitely set the tone. So bring up dates, talk about the other people that you're seeing, talk about other people that you're talking to, ask them about their experiences with the other people that they're seeing or dating or hooking up with, like talk to them about the sex that they're having, like fucking if that's the kind of thing that you're interested in, then talk to them about it and bring up the topic. And then maybe this would be a little further down the track if you have been seeing someone a couple of times, like expressing exactly, I guess what we talked about early on was what dynamic are you after? That was I just remember that was the way that we talked about what we had in the past and what we were kind of interested in at the time. We talked about like what's the dynamic that you're looking for. So at some point, bringing that up and talking about what you want rather than asking, hey, like, is this serious? What are you looking for? What is this going somewhere? Just like being very clear about what it is that you want at the time. What would be another thing that you would, is that kind of like a good starting point?
Read Ethical Slut.
Yeah, far out. Read Ethical Slut. Go and get like, there's a couple of good books on like polyamory. Like the podcast Multiamory that we listen to. Multiamory is great. Like if you want to understand relationships, people that are polyamorous have multiple relationships. Like they are masters at dealing with people and different types of people in super high emotional like places where, yeah, emotions are heightened and there's a lot of tension and there's a lot of potential conflict to deal with and work through. So I think that there's so much to learn from people that are open or polyamorous. So Multiamory podcast is great. And I know that the girl on that, Dedica Winston, has a book and I cannot remember what it's called, but you'd be able to find it.
Like, you can put it in the comments.
We'll put it in. Yeah. We'll put it in somewhere. So like they're just such a great resource. I really love listening to them.
I think that's a good point for anyone that's listening that is like, oh, I couldn't do open, or, you know, that they're not in that place yet. Is that doesn't stop you from learning how people do non-monogamy. I've said that to heaps of people, and I remember I think I talked about it in the last episode. From my first experience with a couple, it's like I went, wow, I can learn so much about communication from these people, even if it's not something you're interested in. So, like, you know, some of your audience kind of comes over and they're like, oh, I'll just listen. And they're like, oh, open relationships aren't for me. It's like, still go and read Ethical Slut. You know, there's stuff about monogamy, but even if you read it all with no intention of ever exploring non-monogamy, I think there's a lot of really good lessons in it.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, what about people that are in relationships? And this is a really big topic. Like, I think going from being in a monogamous relationship to opening up is a really challenging thing to do. Obviously, we didn't do it. We started open, so that was a totally different entry point into being into an open relationship. But I think what we both discuss with people is whenever anybody brings up, like, oh, how do I bring up the topic of having a threesome or having someone join us or like talking to other people, like, or how do I date other people or how do we open up? It's like whenever we've discussed, hey, what would that be like? The question that we always have for anybody that might potentially be asking that is, where are they currently at? Like, what's the context that they're asking that question from? Can they talk to each other about someone they find attractive? Can they say that someone hit on them the other day? Or can they talk about their ex-partners? So, like, I was joking about you the other day, yesterday, literally. I'm like, man, whenever you bring up someone, you're like, oh, yeah, we banged. Like, I'm like, always just get slid in there.
I don't know that I've ever used the word we banged.
No, you haven't, but I like that so much better. So it's like, can you discuss previous intimate partners? Is that something that's a comfortable conversation where it is just thrown in there and you can laugh about it and joke about it? And it's like, we tease each other about it a little bit, or I just tease you.
Yeah.
It's like, if that's not developed, if that's not a comfortable place for you, then before you even worry about other people, there needs to be topics that are breached within the relationship. And you need to be able to talk about sex. You need to be able to talk about partners, previous partners. You need to be able to talk about your fantasies. You need to be able to talk about the fucking porn that you're watching. Like, if you can't talk about those things, then don't venture beyond the relationship until you've got some of that stuff happening.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's, you know, whether it's that you don't like your partner talking about their ex-partners, or if you don't like, you know, if there is anything there, dig into that. Go, okay, why do I feel so uncomfortable about them talking about an ex-partner? It's like, there's something there, there's an insecurity. And it's like, I think that's one of the biggest things from non-monogamy. Like, I'm by far not an expert, but it's like, you can learn so much if every time one of those feelings come up, just dig into it a little bit, like, hey, why do I feel that? Like, why am I feeling that? And I think this kind of venture into opening up, you can learn so much even on that path to be like, dig into some of that stuff. Hey, if every time they talk about someone at work or their colleague or whatever, and I feel that little feeling, like, what is that? Like, and where's it coming from? So, yeah, I think depending on where you're starting from, slow introduction, think about, you know, just little ways you can introduce and get more comfortable with talking about others. Like I said last time, you know, if you're watching a movie with like multiple people of the opposite sex, whatever it is, you know, start to say like, hey, who do you think's most attractive? Who are you most drawn to?
Who would you bang?
Yeah. So I think, definitely that, like, it depends on where you're at. You need to be comfortable. Yeah. Like you said, with sex, with talking about others, all those things, like you can't just jump straight to, hey, do you want to open up? Like, I think, Ethical Slut, when we were reading it the other day, there was a thing where it's like, don't just like buy a copy of the Ethical Slut and give it to your partner and say, hey, yeah, you might want to read this.
Chapter 10, babe, chapter 10.
I think, you know, tread carefully in a way, and it obviously really heavily depends on where your current communication is at. And the whole practice is about communication and building that trust and building communication between you. So wherever you are, start that journey of building conversations about it. Like, I've tried to bring in the conversation of other people in relationships before. Hasn't been super successful. But a lot of the time that was like, I remember even in the past, like someone saying that some guy tried to talk to him at the gym, and I said, oh, like, was he attractive? Like, did you think they were cute? And like, even that of just, and you know, seeing whether someone's comfortable even talking about that. And if they're not comfortable, say, hey, like, why don't you feel like you can say that someone is attractive to me or whatever it is. So.
And we've had those conversations where I remember really early on, like, never talking about positive attributes of other people that I was seeing because I felt like I didn't want to make you feel bad. Like I was being, I guess, selective about the information that I gave you in order to try and control your emotions, which it's like, I can't do that. And it's also not the premise that our relationship is like begins in like or is functioning from. So that has slowly been something that you and I have worked on in terms of like, hey, what are the details that we give? How do we tell this? How do we express our feelings and our experiences that we're having with other people with still caring for each other, but also not trying to protect each other, I guess, because it's impossible to do. And the more that you do that, the more you shut the ability to talk about those things. So I guess it's, hey, how comfortable are you talking? Are you at talking about those things already? Mm-hmm. And then I think the other thing is, why do you want to be open? Because if it's to fix a problem in the relationship, then that's the issue. Mm. It's the fixing the problem in the relationship. It's not monogamy. It's the relationship. So something really cool that I heard the other day was, you know, people have a negative view of polyamory or open relationships because they've heard of relationships that haven't worked out because of polyamory, or they've been open or not monogamous or whatever it was. And they're like, oh, see, it doesn't work. It's like, man, polyamory, like it's bad news. But how many monogamous relationships have ended and we've said, oh, it's just that person. They just weren't the right fit for you. They just weren't right, or things just didn't work out. And no one has ever once said it's monogamy. But people have the same response around polyamory. And I think that's the thing. It's like we are very quick to blame the type of relationship or the title that we exist under, when in fact it's like, no, there's probably something happening with the two people that are sitting in front of each other, or in polyamory, the three or four, however fucking many people it is. It's like it's a problem between people. It's not a problem of the relationship type, that whatever the title is that you're working with. So I think ensuring that the reason that you want to become non-monogamous or explore this stuff is coming from a place of feeling happy and secure in your relationship. Like you need to be in, it's almost like if you're in the best possible place of your relationship, that's when you want to be going, hey, let's explore, let's experiment, let's try something, let's fucking have a threesome and bang a babe.
Loving that bang word today. I think just to add to one of the things that you said, like I think I've talked to a lot of people before, they're like, oh yeah, I tried our open relationship and it didn't work out, or yeah, I tried non-monogamy, it didn't work. And it's like, oh, okay, like once you dig into that, it's because they tried to save their relationship by doing it. So then they're like, oh no, it didn't work, but we tried that, but it didn't work out. And it's like, I think that muddies the waters a little bit of like people having then a bad experience with that. And I've also talked to people that have been, and actually no, now that I think I've been with people in that case, that I've been with people that had opened up because there was really like issues in the relationship. And it's like, that can even muddy you, like, oh, well, that's pretty ugly, like that doesn't work out. But it's like, once you kind of realize that, oh wait, that was an unhealthy version of it, it gets a little bit clearer. But yeah, like you said, that happens in all relationships. But yeah, I think trying to save your relationship through being open is not the right path, because if there's trust issues, if there's, you know, communication problems already, and you're already grappling with stuff, throwing this complexity in the mix, I think just causes a bunch of problems. Like, and that's it's not easy. It, like we've said before, like it is the more complex path, but we feel like for the long term, it's the right path and the best path. But yeah, it's not always simple.
Yeah, sacrifices and compromise must be made. However, there are also sacrifices and compromises in monogamy. So you have to choose which ones you're willing to make. And I think it's important to maybe even like make a point of, hey, with regards to choosing non-monogamy, like you should be having those same discussions and thoughts around choosing monogamy, because we're such default monogamous. We never question it or challenge it or talk about what style of relationship that we want. So you never raise issues or talk about, you know, I guess we never plan our relationships. You know, we spend more time planning our fucking weddings and dreaming about that all our lives than we do thinking about like how we're going to raise kids together, and what are you going to do with like money and owning property together, or what are you going to do when like anything happens. It's like we don't think about that stuff. We think about finding someone and accomplishing all the milestones that exist that look like success in our modern world. But it's like, man, talk about the kind of relationship that you want, whether it is non-monogamy or monogamy. Because there will be sacrifices that you have to make in non-monogamy where you do have to deal with discomfort or uncomfortable feelings like jealousy or insecurities or fear in order to allow your partner to pursue things that they want to do and for you to be able to also do the same. But in monogamy, you have to make sacrifices in order to be with one person. So there are sacrifices either side. So I think it's important to recognize what those are and make your choice a good, well thought out decision.
And if your answer to why you want to be monogamous is just because of jealousy, because it's what you, how you feel safe, like I would dig into that again, you know, to go, hey, is that enough of a reason to be like, oh, well, I'd get jealous, so therefore it's not even worth like getting out of that comfort zone. You know, it's still, you know, I think if you're a growth-minded person, like all of the, anything that makes you uncomfortable is an opportunity to grow. And if you, you know, for me, I see that and go, wait, that thing makes me uncomfortable. I should probably lean into that a little bit and figure out why that makes me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, that, you know, so many people on dating apps, if I say like about being non-monogamous, they're like, oh, I couldn't do that, I'd get jealous. I'm like, why do you think you would get jealous? And like, once you actually start chatting to them about it, which this might link to the next question you want to answer, you start answering those questions of people and they're like, oh yeah, okay, like I get it. Like, you know, that they kind of just realize you've got this instant jealousy reaction, but if you kind of work through that emotion, yeah, I think it's a good opportunity to grow.
Yeah, I mean, fuck, if it scares you, that you have to do it. Like, you have to. You have to lean into that. And if you always walk away from things that scare you, like, man, good luck.
That's right.
Okay, we're going to go into our next question.
Hey, Kate, I listened to your podcast on open relationships and I just had a few questions from that. How do you set up your online dating profiles? Do you go ahead and tell them that you're in an open relationship? Do you wait until you've been talking to them for a little while? Do you feel like you kind of have to explain what that means, especially to someone who's never been in that before? That's something I've noticed, is that there's a lot of explaining and setting rules and things like that, and for people who aren't familiar. So I just wanted to see how y'all navigate that. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to answer it and then you're going to answer it. Only because obviously we generally are talking to people of the opposite sex. So I'm a female in an open relationship talking to most of the time guys on dating apps. I do also talk to girls and go on dates with girls, but I tend to find that I generally probably spend most of my time looking and talking to guys. Looking at guys. Window shopping for dudes. So when I set up my profiles, all of them say that I'm in an open relationship or ethically non-monogamous relationship or consensually non-monogamous relationship. So it's always like very clearly spelled out. And I can't remember if I did that from the beginning. I don't think I did. I don't remember when I changed all my profiles to say that, but maybe it was a few months in, but it wasn't from the very beginning. But I would always tell people, people always knew that I had a partner and I would talk about you to them. I tend to find that if I'm talking to a girl, she's bisexual or lesbian, or some kind of fluid like gender, fluid identity. And so they tend to have more experience with open and non-monogamous relationships or experiences. So like I've never run into a problem or run into someone who's not been like, yeah, that's totally fine. Like our like homosexual family have been doing this for way longer than like heterosexual people. Like we are brand new to this stuff. And they're like, well, man, this is, you guys, welcome to the party. So yeah, I've never had a weird or difficult or challenging conversation with a female. With guys, I certainly have. And I have run into the guys that are I think they probably read my profile and they're like, ah, oh, sweet, I'm just going to get a real easy lay kind of thing. So I've definitely had that where they're just totally uninterested in talking and totally uninterested in like our relationship and have no curious questions whatsoever. And that's almost a red flag. Like I'm a bit like, yeah, I don't know. So that so far has worked out to generally be people that haven't been people I've either met or like just nothing's come out of it. Some guys ask questions and I have had a few people being like, oh, I'd probably be too jealous to do that. Or like, I've heard about people doing it, but I've never done it. but there's been nothing negative. Like, I've never had anyone push back on, like, well, if you're happy, why are you open? Or what are you going to do? Like, are you ever going to settle down? Or, like, I've never had any, like, comments that have been, yeah, like a little, yeah, anything that's maybe perhaps got a bit of judgment or shame attached to it. I've never had anything like that. I've only have ever had guys or girls that were like curious or interested. I don't even think I've had to explain it much. Like, I think a lot of guys are like, whatever.
Lucky you.
Yeah, I know. But I also tend to find people that also mention non-monogamy or some version of that in their profile. Like, I tend to be really, like, I say no to so many people on dating apps that it's not even funny. So I tend to wait until I find profiles that are similar to mine, where it's like they've got photos of their partner, or they some like you'll often find couples that are looking to either play solo or play as a couple as well. So it's like those would generally tend to be the people that I'll be guided towards. And often people that talk about like BDSM or kink only because they're just generally a little bit more I want to say like not educated but familiar, maybe, like they're just more aware of those relationship styles and yeah, have a better understanding of it perhaps, and they just often exist within sex positive communities and like non-monogamous positive communities. So I tend to find that like when I gear my profile or target people that have certain things like that in their bio, it's usually a very welcoming response or open conversation that I have with them. So yeah, overall, nothing negative. I've not experienced a lot of shame or like judgment. And yeah, I haven't, I also haven't experienced like anyone really turn me down. Like, it's not really prevented me from having the ability to access dating apps in the same way that I did when I was single, which I think is probably a little bit different for you.
Yeah, definitely. Do you want me to?
Yeah, go.
Yeah. So I think that's something we've talked about a lot, is like very different experiences, I think, between guys and girls. And I think you're right. Like, there is more, I think there are more guys that are more willing to be like, yeah, all right. Like me when I was single, like you'd see a woman that was open relationship or whatever, and you're like, sweet, cool. Like, no, you know, it's no strings attached and it's like, it's super easy. You're like, all right, sure. Like, but I think with women, or my experience so far, like I think I said to you a few months ago, like I feel like 90% of non-monogamy is educating people about non-monogamy because that's pretty much what I do on my Tinder profile. So if you want to learn more about ethical non-monogamy, come on over, match with me. I'll just send you some resources. I said to Kate yesterday, like, if Tinder could see the analytics of who sent the most TED Talks, book recommendations and podcasts, it's probably me. So that's what I do most of the time on all of my dating profiles. But yeah, like I think my experience has mainly been a lot of people that match me without reading my profile is the first thing. And I think to start with, I have it all very open on my profile. It says that I've got a partner, I've got a photo of you and me in all of my different dating app profiles.
And we talked about that early on. I even said, hey, don't feel obliged to tell people about me in your profile. Feel like you can just talk, and then when it comes to the right appropriate time, you'll tell them that you're in a relationship, because I felt like I was hindering your ability to talk and date people. But since then you were like, no, I'm putting it fucking straight out there.
It didn't feel right to me, and like I've definitely talked to people that their approach is to not tell people, either never tell people, like they'll just be after, like I remember talking to a female out of a couple before, and she's like, yeah, my partner, she didn't have it in her profile either, but they said that they were basically just hooking up with people, not even telling them, just having like one night hookups and stuff without even mentioning. I'm like, that feels weird to me.
It's called ethical non-monogamy or consensual non-monogamy. And I think it has to exist with the people outside of the relationship as well, right?
But not everyone refers to it as that. So yes, some people, it's just true. Open relationship, and there's less of a focus on that. I think just everyone has different rules, different ways of going. Like, I don't think there's a right way or wrong way, but for me, I would rather just be upfront with people because they're going to find out eventually. Anyway.
Even if they don't, like, I, like, man, whatever helps you sleep at night, but I fucking couldn't just, like, hook up with people and not have them know. And even out of respect for you, like, I'm like, if someone wouldn't hook up with me because I was with you, then I'm like, cool, I don't want to hook up with you, buddy. Like, thanks, but no thanks.
Well, I even said to you, like, you know, so my weekends I spend with you, we do stuff together. And it's like, so even if we have, when you have the, you know, obligatory small talk conversations on dating apps, like, what did you do on the weekend? It's like, oh, I was with my partner, we did this and we did that. It's like, if I just have to erase like any mention of you, like that feels weird to me. I would rather just be able to talk, and if I know, if I can talk like that without someone being like, oh, that's weird, like that's almost my filter.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's how a lot of the time people. I'll bring the conversation up, yeah, because to like, what I was saying.
Me and my girlfriend.
Yeah, well, that's like now, like because not many people actually read my profile, I'll try and very early on mention about you and I. Mm-hmm. So it's like in the first few messages, it's like, you know, what have you been doing? It's like, I'll make sure I mention, hey, yeah, me and my girlfriend went and did this, or I've been hanging with my partner yesterday.
How weird would that be for a single girl who like has no real concept of non-monogamy?
It happens about 50 times
like,
a week.
Yeah, to not read your profile yeah. and then be like, hey, how are you? And you're like, oh, me and my girlfriend were just hanging out. What are you up to? And she'd be like, oh, sorry, what?
That, it happens all the time. It's like either that people then write back to that saying, oh, I just read your profile, I'm really sorry. Or they're like, What do you mean? And I'm like, you didn't read my profile, did you? And they go, read it. So I think then what usually happens, it's either instant unmatch, a judgmental tirade about how terrible I am.
And then unmatch.
Or curious questions. So I think those last two, like they both end up in some interesting conversations. And I do actually enjoy that a lot of the time. Like even if I know it's not going anywhere, I feel like it is good to just be able to, like if someone has had no exposure to it at all, is to be able to just talk about it and kind of, you know, have that opportunity to be like, hey, like this is actually, you know, not as scary as what you really think it is, and go through that. So, so that for me, I end up kind of having a lot of those conversations, kind of explaining us how things work, the rules, like the amount of times I have those conversations that it doesn't lead to a date is massive. But I think it's just part of the process, and you've got to kind of accept, like, I think that's the difference between men and women. Maybe in that situation, it's like women are, I think they do care more about it, but they are also, I think, I'll shout out to all the women out there that are more emotionally intelligent. They're like, hey, I don't understand it, but I want to know about it. I think they're less, most women don't want just one night stand hookup sex. So it's like they want to talk about, hey, what does this look like? Like if I was to get involved, what is it you really want? Like, what is the dynamic? What are some of those things? And like, I think it's really good when you do get people that are like, hey, tell me about your rules. How, you know, and how would I fit into that? Or what is it that this would look like? Like, yeah, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, I think there's some interesting conversations that come out of it, but yeah, always open and upfront about everything. I don't hide anything.
Yeah. I think it makes it easier because if you're going to have that conversation at some point.
Yeah.
And it might potentially be the reason that someone doesn't want to talk to you or see you. Then it's like, man, do that at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like anything like that, anything uncomfortable, whether you're talking about like dating other people and you're single and you want to be solo poly or solo non-monogamous, then bring it up early. Mm. If you're in a non-monogamous relationship and you're dating other people, bring it up early. Like I think it's one, it's a beneficial filter for you to get rid of people that aren't open to that and don't want to talk to you and or are going to bring judgment and shame. And it's a way for you to start the conversation early and have interesting stuff to talk about.
I think one of the things that are sort of there linking to that first question is like, you know, we're open and upfront on our dating profiles, but like if you're a single female as an example, like putting that on your dating profile of like interested in non-monogamy, like I don't know whether that would be a attractant to the wrong people if you were single and had something like that on your profile. Mm-hmm. I think it might draw attention to the wrong people.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'd put that on a profile.
Yeah.
I've had, there
are some single girls that do.
Yeah. Some people, I think when you use the terminology like solo poly, sometimes I think one, people that don't know what that is just won't know what that means. But then the flip side of that is people that do know what it means and are attracted to that and are looking for the same thing, that you could potentially bring in some interesting connections to your life.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's something you play with. Like, man, I change my dating profiles and write down a different thing all the time. And sometimes I'm in a really aggressive mood and I don't want to deal with people who are super, that are just going to be looking for hookups or looking for something. And I'm like, I'm looking for this specifically thing for not like an ongoing connection, but I have, you know, like I'll be really clear on what it is that I'm looking for. Or like, I'm looking for someone who has experience with this type of thing or like, you know, and then sometimes I'll just totally get rid of all that. And it'll just be like super basic, like I do CrossFit and I'm in a relationship.
Well, I think that's the advantage of like so many different dating apps as well, like you know, you can have different photos, you can write different things, and you can see what one attracts different kinds of people. Like you know, all of my profiles have different, generally different photos, some same, but they've all got a different photo of you and I. They've all got slightly, like, I think that some of, like, Hinge is set up differently, so it kind of has the prompts in it, so it has a slightly different style. So does Bumble, you know. So, and then, like, you know, the apps like Field or Tinder, like, they've got different layouts and just different audiences as well. So, yeah, I think there's an opportunity to try some different stuff, try some different photos, like, you know, put up stuff and see what kind of people come through, and be like, okay, I'm getting all, you know, this kind of person, maybe I need to change it a little bit.
So. Yeah, I think, like, you know, I have had a couple of people ask me, like, what do you think, especially guys hitting me up being like, what should I put on my dating profile? Like, what's a good profile? And I mean, you were looking at my Tinder the other day and you're like, oh boy, these pictures, oh my God. It's like, man, get a good clear photo of your face, like something that's like not a group picture, just a clear photo of your face, something that's recent. You need to take that feedback. Your photos are from like,
I've replaced it now,
6 or 7 years ago.
Not anymore.
Good thing you haven't aged a day, babe.
Don't wear sunglasses.
Don't wear sunglasses or hats. Like, just like, don't take like shirtless photos that your head's cut off in the bathroom. Okay, just no bathroom selfies, full stop. Really should be the law of fucking dating apps. No fucking gym bathroom selfies. Yeah, you just need like 3 or 4 pictures, something that clearly has your face, maybe a body shot. Like, I tend to like putting in body shots because I want guys to see that I'm a CrossFitter. Like, I'm not, like, know what you're getting before you swipe me, rather than like me feeling worried or insecure that they're going to meet me and be like, ugh. I'm like, man, this is me. Like, hey, this is what you're going to be dealing with. Here you go. See it all before you choose.
I promise, and if you'll make some swipe quicker.
And if you want it, then they're like, yes. And if they don't, then I don't even have to know that they don't want it because they've already just not swiped me. It's like, cool. Put it all out there. Like, no side photos of half the face or filtered face. Like, girl Tinder, oh my God, so many filters and half faces. Like, girls are pros at taking photos of the good side of their face. Like, I do it all the time, but I try my best to make sure that I expose myself, man. Like, I want it. It's almost like, put out the worst. And then when people like that, you know you're onto the right type of person.
Maybe not the worst. But I think put out the real version of you, because put people are going to find out. Like, if you're a guy and you're 5'5", don't don't put a photo there next to a 4-year-old child making it look like you're a giant. I saw one of them the other day on your profile. That guy was definitely trying to do that.
Yeah, I find it interesting when people put photos with their kids. And I don't know if it's just because maybe if I had kids, I probably wouldn't be sharing their like images and identities like all over dating profiles. But I do understand that they're significant parts of their life. So, hey, maybe that's them putting out their real version. It's like, hey, I come with like, you know, baggage to a degree.
We're definitely going on a massive tangent.
I know, we're on a tangent, but it's okay. We're going to get through this. So have clear photos. I don't think what you say in your bio is that important. I think writing something is important.
Just be honest.
But yeah, be honest and be yourself. Like, I think a lot of people are like, what should I say? And it's like, just say something that makes sense for you, because it's not about trying to make people like you. It's about being you and deciding if you like other people. And I think that people come at it from the wrong angle, where they're trying to make people like their profile and swipe them. And it's like, it's actually not about the number of likes. It's just about, it's almost like about cutting through all of the people that are going to be exposed to your profile and finding the person that actually just likes your profile. And then you can decide if you like their profile as well. And if you do, cool, you match.
Yeah, they're all layers of the filter. It's like, and that's like to the question about like, do you say you're open, not whatever you situation is, it's like, you don't have to say that in the first, you know, on your profile. You can put, you know, if you're in a relationship, say you're in a relationship. If you don't want to, filter people out, wait till you have that initial conversation and be like, hey, I just want to like let you know up front, I'm in a relationship. Like, I'll, you know, I know I said before, like, I'll mention you in conversation, but if conversation goes off in another area, like, I'll usually like a few messages in, say, hey, PS, I just want to make sure you've read my profile before I waste any more of your time. Okay, I don't want to waste my time or your time, but hey, let's make sure you're aware of this before we spend, you know, a day messaging.
Yeah, the best conversations I've had have either been ones that have got interesting conversations to kick them off. Like, I always try and avoid the, hey, how's your day going? Hey, how's your weekend going? I always send like, okay, best and worst part of lockdown. Hey, tell me about like a really deep conversation you had recently. Like, just like that kind of cheesy, you know, they're like those what are those like conversation questions? They're icebreakers. Mm. They're like icebreaker questions, but they're good because they're different. I don't care how fucking cringe I am. I'm just like, it's different conversations. So that's one. The other one is, I've had this happen to me a couple times where someone's messaged me first message. They've been like, hey, let me tell you exactly what I'm looking for here. Mm. And then the ball's on your court. Mm. And they'll send me like a pretty decent paragraph of like, it was a woman. She had two kids. She was pretty busy. She was not looking for anything serious. She wanted to have a really fun time with someone. It was just like, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And she's like, I just want to cut through the bullshit. Please, let's just like figure out if we're going to match. And if we want to hang out, we can go get a drink. And I was like, this is like, give me that real shit.
And I think that's, I've tried that. I think from a guy, it can come across different. The only time I've done that and it's been successful is if I'm traveling. So if I'm clear, like when I used to travel a lot, 2019, I was Singapore, US, wherever I was, like I had it in my profile, like traveling, I'm here till this date. And I think then anyone that matched me, I'm like, they know I'm here for a week. Mm. They know I'm here for 4 days. So then you could be a little bit more blunt because you knew the people that had swiped, you knew you were there only there for 4 days. So I find I generally, and particularly now even more than anything, you have to show you've got some personality, because if I jump straight to it, like, they'll just be like, oh, okay.
Like, you're not a fuckboy.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, I think that, yeah, the asking interesting questions, trying to do that. My question that I used to ask people was, tell me a recent book you've read, a podcast you've listened to, or something new you've learnt, was always my question. Because I think, you know, not everyone reads books, not everyone listens to podcasts, but...
Hopefully everybody's learning something.
Well, look, hopefully you've done one of the three. If you haven't done one of those three, we're probably not getting the vibe. So it's like,
how many times are you like, I don't read books, I don't listen to podcasts, and I have not learned anything
all
recently.
The time. Yep. Or people would be like, yeah, I don't really read books or podcasts, and yeah, I haven't really. I remember once someone said to me like, and I haven't learned anything new since I left school, and I'm like, cool.
Have a good day. Peace. Bye. Well, there you go. You filtered that person out. Yeah. Real too. That's sweet. Right.
One message. Bye. Done.
Okay. Right. We're going to go from talking to people on dating sites to sex toys. Taking a massive leap here. But we had someone ask how to bring in sex toys from solo play to partnered play. And I wanted to ask you the question because we had this question right back when we did our first episode, and I actually started asking you and then starting to ask these follow-up questions, and we were like, no, save it for the podcast. So the question was, when did you first introduce a toy, or when did you have someone introduce a toy into sex? Like, what was your experience with that?
So first time, I don't remember what age, I'll say 18 to 21, maybe around there somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think, and I'm pretty sure it was an ex-girlfriend that had been to like one of those like sex toy, like Tupperware parties, but for toys. I don't know what they call them.
A Tupperware party for sex toys? Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
A bunch of girlfriends get around, drink some champagne. Everyone, like, you can buy a bunch of toys. Yeah. And like, I remember in that they got like a gift bag kind of thing each for going to it. Within that was a small like pink vibrator. And so that was my girlfriend at the time. She came back to me and she's like, and I'm like, oh, what did you get? And like, show me the stuff you got. And it was this bag of stuff. And there was this small pink vibrator. There was a bunch of other like bits and pieces. But I think then that was the first toy, because I'm like, I think I asked about using it on her. So that was my first sex toy experience. My experiences after that, I think it's super hard as a guy to introduce sex toys into partnered play as the guy suggesting it. Mm-hmm. So whenever I've done that, generally, maybe less now, but more before, because girls, like, I remember reactions that I'd get with like, oh, I've used it on anyone else. And it's like, okay, I can't, like, as a single guy, I can't just buy fresh toys every time I play with someone. Yeah. So it's like, I wanted to introduce them quite a lot. A lot of girls were not comfortable with the thought of them being used on other people previous. Mm. I even remember like the restraints that I have. I've had them for like, I've had a few different ones. So I've got kind of bed restraints. Now everyone in the world knows that. but I got my first set of them like super early on, like maybe mid to early 20s. And even those, I remember the first time I brought them out I think someone said, like, they asked that as well. Like, have you used these with anyone else? And I'm like, no, no, I haven't. And then,
like, I feel like that would be a little bit of an insecurity.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand, like, the hygiene reasons with other toys because it freaks people out. But I also think there's a degree of threat with knowing, like, you're using toys with other people. I definitely can, if I think about myself in that position, if I were having that response, like, there would definitely be a degree of, like, oh, like, oh, you using these on someone else. Okay, all right, fine. Like, cool. Like, oh, God.
Yeah, and I just think that, like, maybe if someone then kind of goes, oh, like, this is something, I don't know, maybe that you do all the time or...
I think you immediately don't feel special.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a part of it. Like, when it feels like you're just another one almost.
Yeah.
Perhaps is the feeling that people get.
Yeah.
Do you ever, like, have you ever... Is it always like a in-the-moment introduction or do you talk to people ahead of time? And like, I think that you and I talked a lot about things that we like to do or play with or experiment with before anything happened. But I think we were also the type of people that fucking talk about everything. So we had those discussions because I was super interested in it. You were interested in it. So it just kind of naturally came up as something that we actually almost kind of consented what we were okay and not okay with before we'd even met potentially.
Yeah.
Because we'd had a lot of those conversations. Like, where are you with that?
I think the easiest way I've found to maybe get onto the topic is like even asking about masturbation. So I mean, like, even like during sex, be like, you know, if you're asking someone about how they usually come or like when they play with themselves at home, do you usually use toys or do you use your hands? And if someone's like, oh, toys, you're like, oh, cool. Like, would you be open to using like toys? Like, I've got toys.
So while you're having sex, like...
Yeah, if you're starting to play, like... And I think that's like...
talking about what they... Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because I think that's like... That's definitely something that, like, during sex, like, it's okay to talk about that stuff. And it's okay to, like, you know, play a little bit, chat a little bit, talk, you know, during that whole thing. Like, it doesn't need to be like, yeah, need to figure it all out to start with. And then it's like, okay, now it's time to do the thing.
Now we don't talk anymore.
So yeah, I think that of like asking that question can be a good place for like people to just feel comfortable in like, oh yeah, when I usually play, I usually use toys. Or, you know, say, oh, like, have you used toys much before? And if like, no, I haven't. Like, okay, well, like, would you be open to trying them? So I think like, they're probably the two ways that I kind of can get on conversation with people. It obviously needs to be someone that's pretty open talking about that stuff. But I find, so I think that's probably for me been the easiest way. So I think can be difficult introducing them as a guy to people that are maybe less sexually open. But if you can try and kind of weave onto that topic of like, hey, have you ever used toys before? When you play with yourself, you know, do you use toys? And if someone's like either curious or excited, like they're like, yeah, I love it. I've got some. You're like, oh, cool. So do I. Like, you know, you can get to that conversation.
So do I. In fact.
Open my cupboard here.
Just answer, you're right. So, okay, as a guy, what have girls said to you or how have girls introduced toys in ways that have been really... Why are you looking at me like that? So what I want to know is like, what have been some positive experiences or some positive ways that girls have introduced toys with you?
The reason why I'm smiling is because I think I've always been the dirtbag that's introduced them.
You've always been the filthy deviant.
Yeah. I don't think...
You've never had girls introduce toys with you?
Maybe new toys, but not like, not being the first one to be like, hey, like I was just wondering whether you wanted to introduce this. Like,
except for me.
Yeah, but even like, yeah, with us with new toys, but to start with, I don't think, yeah, I don't remember. But so I think like for a really long time.
Damn it, I wanted to be the one that was different.
For a long time, I just didn't use toys in sex because of some of those early experiences where girls had like repelled against. So I'm like, okay, well, I just didn't have many at home. Like,
interesting.
So I just didn't really, like, I would say a little bit cautious about introducing them. As far as my toys, like if I was at a girl's house and she was open to using her toys, sure. But I didn't.
So you've never had a girl that was like, hey, I want to pull out my vibrator. Is that cool? Or like, hey, you into butt plugs? Or hey, can you put my butt plug in?
I think most of the time I've brought it up and that's when they've then maybe been comfortable getting it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. So it's like the subject has to be kind of breached to a degree by the guy.
Yeah, because I think girls are intimidated maybe of like, hey, just let me pull this dildo out of my draw.
I also think that the guys tend to be more dominant sexually. Mm. So like we've talked about this before, the style of sex that you have is, for me, it's always been determined by the guy.
Yeah.
To a great degree. Probably less and less the more confident that I've gotten sexually. But yeah, to a big degree, it's like the style of sex is different depending on every guy. And you're like, oh, really? You've had that experience? And I'm like, yeah. Well, every guy. I'm like, I could tell you a whole different type of sex I've had because of the person that it was with. And you're like, oh, no, I've not had that.
Yeah, like I think the variation is much less. Mm. Like small amounts, but I think that's...
The girls just follow the... let you take the lead.
And I think that's obviously one of the big differences in like what... how positive sexual experiences are for me versus you. It's like because I think that you do guide that... you know, that process a little bit more. So it's, I think, like there's less chance of it being a bad experience potentially.
So. I remember talking to you really early on and having conversations that were a little hot and heavy because we were talking about things that we were interested in sexually. And I don't think we'd met, or perhaps we... I can't remember if we'd met yet. I do tend to be mindful of, prior to meeting someone, getting too ahead of myself. Because I've had that happen before where like I've hit it off with some guy, talking to him online, there's been lots of good back and forth and I'm like, oh, this seems like a really interesting connection, and it will get a little sexy and it'll get a little hot and steamy, and then I'm like, oh, this is, oh my God. And then you meet them and I'm like, oh, I'm really just not attracted to you, or like I'm really not into it, or like it's super awkward in person or something like that happens. And then you're like, well, fuck, we've like really like crossed a few lines here. And it's not necessarily that it's a bad thing or that I regret it. It's just that it's, yeah, you end up being in a position where you almost have to backpedal. And it's like, oh, I feel like you almost get to a point where you feel obligated to continue seeing someone. And it's like, oh, I'm not into this. So I'm way more mindful now of not getting ahead of myself and being like, just being a little like, I still like flirting and I still like getting things a little sexual in nature with like topics of conversation, but I'll just be like careful around like getting too far with that.
Do you remember how I got you onto the topic?
Yeah, because you sent me a photo of your bookshelf that had your shibari ropes next to it.
Yeah.
But I didn't even see it.
Yeah.
So Greg sent me a photo. We were talking about books and I sent him a photo of my bookshelf, thinking I was being very impressive, and sent him this right here, but it was in my other apartment. And then you sent me your bookshelf in response. And I was like, oh my God, we have so many of the same books. Like, oh my God, I really want to read this one, da da da. And you were like, hey, did you see that other thing that was in the photo? You're like, so you didn't even notice the mannequin that I have in that room?
I definitely moved that there just for that photo.
Just for that photo.
Yeah. Well, that's like, I think to your point, like you're cautious of talking about sex stuff because you don't want to give the wrong impression. It's like, I almost want to filter that a little bit to be like...
It's not because I don't want to give the wrong impression. Like it wasn't about the impression. It was about establishing a deeper connection before I'd even met someone.
Mm.
So it was like... So the example that I have is I ended up sexting with this guy like all night. And I was like, this is amazing. Shut up. I know. Naughty. It's just filthy. And I was like, this is fucking awesome. Like, this is so hot. This is really fun. And just like getting real, it was just awful. It was so dirty. And the next, we met, I think the next day or like 2 days later. And I was like all nervous. And like, you know, like we'd already talked about so much sex stuff. It was just like, And then I met him and I was like, oh, I'm really not attracted to you at all. Like I actually do not want to have sex with you. Like, I'm fine to hang out. Like, but it was just like I friend zoned him so hard. Like, the poor guy, he messaged me afterwards and I was just like, oh, like, I'm just not interested. I'm sorry. But yeah, so from that point forward, I was like, oh, okay, I really just need to make sure that I'm not creating a deeper connection with someone and setting them up to be disappointed because I turn around and go, hey, buddy, not keen. And then I feel like a bit of an asshole for leading them on, I guess. So it's more about not me giving them an impression of me being a certain type of person. It's not about that. It's about leading them on to believe that they're going to potentially get something out of this that there are no promises for yet because I haven't met you yet. So I'm just mindful of like just being aware of where we're at.
That's what I meant by impression. Like impression of that you are going to have sex with them kind of thing. I think for me, it's like, wanting to just know if someone is more sex positive or open, like it's almost like maybe the reverse to be like me wanting to just test the waters, like are they, you know, are they a little bit wild or are they going like not into that kind of thing? Like, so I think it's good, like me trying to gauge that. And I think for me and you, like that was kind of we hadn't got onto any kind of sex topics. Like, we had these really like massive conversations. We talked a heap. You were coming to my house that night, or like, you know, the week later or whatever it was. And it's like, I don't actually know like what to expect, like, or what you're into or any of that sort of stuff. So it's like, it's kind of good to just at least chat through that a little bit, just to figure out where you're at, what kind of, yeah, what you like.
Yeah, I think that prompted the, what have you tried? Like, have you done that? Like, have you used the ropes? Have you used like restraints? And I think you asked me what I was into. And I basically, I feel like I gave you a laundry list of like, here's what I've done. Here's what I like using. Here's what I haven't done that, but I'm interested in, which I think is important. I think if people are talking about stuff that you've done, it's not necessarily what you're experienced in or what you currently use. It's like, hey, what would you be interested in trying as well? Because the other thing that's kind of cool is when you do meet people that have done other things that you haven't done, it's like, if you're interested in more BDSM stuff or like a particular kink, or I remember talking to you about wax, like wax play, and being like, oh, I'd be super interested in like hot cold stuff. And neither of us had done that, so it was like, that was really cool to realize that we were both interested in it. I was super interested in like all of your like bondage stuff, like, so that was perfect. And I think that prompted you to do a couple of things, which was super fun. So yeah, I think that's interesting that you've had that conversation, like, as like a, you bring that in with people.
Yeah, I just think that it's easier to try and, you know, like you said, like if the guy is more guiding it, like you do, I think as a guy, need to be a little bit more, if you're not introducing that stuff, it just won't happen. You know, if you are timid in your approach and don't want to mention toys or don't want to be like, hey, what is it you're into? Like, you know, try and gauge, okay, like, oh, you're in, you are submissive. Or if you just don't ask those questions, two things are going to happen. You're either just not going to have great sex and not get to explore that stuff, or you might push into something that someone's not comfortable with.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can't just not have the discussion about, hey, like, what kind of kinks have you got? Or, you know, are you submissive? Or what do you like? It's like, you know, you hear stories all the time of guys just like going and grabbing some girl around the throat, like in the middle of sex. And it's like, before even having any conversation. So it's like, I would rather have some of those conversations where you're like, hey, what are you into? What are you comfortable with? This is what I'm like. Talk about consent, being like, hey, like, if at any point I do anything that you don't like, I'll try and have as much of that conversation up front, because it just makes the experience better for everyone.
I wish more guys would, if they're going to choke someone, would at least ask when they're doing it, do you like this? Are you into choking? To get feedback, because people will just do it and like try and read the performance-y moans from the girl, because she's probably just fucking making a show, like, which a lot of girls do, myself included. And it's like, if there's been no talking about it, it's like, man, you're not going to go from not talking about it at all to her saying, hey, I'm not comfortable with this. Can you please not choke me? I'm not okay with that. Here's my boundaries. Like, you're not going to get that from someone. It has to be talked about. Like, the whole choking thing, like, and it fucking drives me crazy seeing women as well being like, oh my God, these guys choking. Like, I'm so into it. And like,
I don't even like the word choking.
Videos, like, it's just like, it's, there's so much of that that's not okay. And people need to be way better equipped with knowing how to say, are you into choking? Are you into some kind of like bondage restraints? Like, are you into like having hands like grabbing you more roughly? Or like, do you like, and it doesn't have to be in a super sterile way. Like, I think that's the thing that puts people off. People think if I have that conversation, it has to be sit down, let's make some notes about what you're into, and let's talk about this and have this discussion. And it's like, no, it can be fucking sexy. It's like, something that we actually did really early on as well was like, we played on consent. People should start playing on consent and using consent in a way that actually turns it into dirty talk, where as you're doing things, you're like, hey, can I take your shirt off? Hey, do you like that? Do you like what my hands are doing? And if it's things that generally are things that are welcomed, then what happens is you get a yes, I really like that, that feels really good, and you suddenly are talking about things that you're enjoying. And then when you start testing the boundaries, they're in a place where they're like, nah, I don't know if I like that as much. And what you can do as well is not just do you like that, you can give people the this or that option of like, and that's the same thing with toys. It's like, do you like a vibrator, or do you like something inside you? Like, do you something that's penetration? And it's like giving them the, hey, do you like my tongue or do you like my fingers? Do you like it harder or do you like it softer like this? Do you want more? Do you want more speed, or do you want me to go slowly, or do you want up and down? Do you want around? It's like, give people the options, because I think something for me as a female I struggled with was people saying, what do you like? Fucking in the moment while we're having sex, and I'm like, Not this. Anything but this. Can you change? I don't know. What do you have? Like, tell me your toolbox, because, buddy, I don't know what I'm working with.
Can I say the menu?
Yeah.
I remember you said that to me, like, when we first hooked up, like, that I did ask you a lot of those, this or this, like this. And it's like,
I think I gave you that feedback. And that's what's prompted me now to be like, that was really nice. I really liked having that. Do you like this or like this or that or that? And it was like,
Yeah. And I think even like the choking thing. So one thing I just don't like even referring it to it as choking, because I think people do it the wrong, like a lot of people, if they're just trying to explore that, they'll do the wrong thing for a lot of people. And it's like pressure on the front of the throat is not something you should do. And I think that's, if you think about just choking someone from a, violence point of view,
actually trying to harm someone,
it is cutting off their airway, whereas that's not probably the right place to start if that's a new thing for you. But anyway, so sidetrack on that. But
can you please, before you go to the next point, save it, hold that in your brain. Choking the wrong way is pressing on the front of the throat.
Yes.
Choking the right way is what?
Hands around the side of the throat and pressure on either side. So, up the front of your neck is your airway, obviously. Then the sides of your neck are where your arteries are. So, it's actually putting your hand around the throat and applying pressure on where the arteries are. And it's actually the thing that can get, that quite a few people like about it, or it's can be quite pleasurable, blood. Is actually restriction of the blood and then release.
Restriction of the air.
And put it like, and so you're putting the pressure on the sides and just resting the front of your hand on it. So often, like what I'll do, even introducing that into someone and going through that kind of consent piece, if you haven't talked about it beforehand, even starting with like just putting your hand on the side of their neck and like grabbing on one side of the neck with the hand and saying, hey, are you okay with that? They're like, yeah, that's good. And it's like then bringing like so your thumb is resting on the front of their throat and you're like, hey, are you okay with that? And progressively getting to the point where you've got your whole hand around their throat. And I think that's a way to kind of, gently check in along the way and small check-ins to be like, is this okay? Is this okay? Not just jumping straight to like pinning you down by the throat and grabbing you. Like, and I think that's when I've run into girls that are like, oh no, I'm not into choking. It's when you ask them about it, that's what their experience has been. Someone is just grabbing them, crushing their airway, them not being able to breathe and them going, stop that. Don't ever do that again.
And here's the thing. It's not awkward to ask. What's fucking awkward is a girl having sex that's super fucking uncomfortable and is not enjoying it and doesn't know how to say that she's not okay.
Yeah.
That's the awkward part, which 100% guarantee every single girl that I'm talking, like that's listening to this, has had that experience. I fucking had that experience. And I think I'm a very confident person and I wasn't able to speak up. And it's like, you just end up in these positions where you're like, I know it's going to be over soon. I'm just going to deal with this. And then they're going to be gone and it's going to be fine. And it's like, I've never felt unsafe or at a point where like I wasn't okay with just like, it's all right, I'll just get through this. But it's like, I've definitely been in positions where I've been doing things or having something done to me that I'm like, I am not into this at all. Like, I'm not even enjoying this. Like, I'm waiting for it to be over. That is so much worse than someone being like, hey, are you into this? Like, is this something that you like? It's like, man, just fucking have that conversation.
That's why I love the term play. Like, I think it is just a very, like, almost like this rolling thing where, like, you're talking through it. It doesn't need to be, like, I don't know. That, for me, that's, like, is talking, checking in, having some conversations through. Like, hey, what are you comfortable with? What have you tried? Is this good?
Okay, so I want to ask you, and then maybe I'll take a turn explaining some of the things, my experiences with bringing in toys, because it was the girl version of it, I guess. Yeah. So if a girl were to bring in toys, like, what would be a way that you would really like that to have to happen? Like, is it something where when you guys are chatting before you meet up, would it be something where like she could ask you like, hey, what toys have you played with before? Would it be something where like when you guys are, like, and I know you probably do have conversations before you actually start to play with someone where you're like, hey, what are you actually into? But no, I don't think everybody does that. So like, where would be a good point for you to experience with like a girl being like, hey, I want to bring in this toy? Or would it just be that in the middle of sex, she just is like, hang on, I'm going to be right back, and goes and grabs, like, imagine if she just walks out with like a doxy, like a doxy is like a really massive,
I'd be into it.
Huge one. You'd be into it. But like, so I guess it's like some guys would be totally terrified of that.
Yeah. So
what would be a good way for you? And then what would be a way for a guy to deal with that if he's not necessarily comfortable with them or feels a little insecure about it?
Yeah, so I'm super open to those conversations beforehand. Like, if someone's like, if you're talking about sex and they're like, hey, like, you know, do you use toys or do you have toys? Or if you're planning on it, coming over to play, it's like, hey, do you mind if I bring my favorite toy? Like, any of those things, fucking hot. That's great. Like, so I think the question that you often get, and maybe if I try and think about that perspective, is like someone whose partner is resistant to toys, or they don't, you know, so the male perspective in that is like guys feeling insecure about toys coming in. It's like, I think, you know, there's that thing that people talk about of like guys being like threatened of a girl bringing in toys. I think like that for me, it doesn't completely make sense, but I think it's obviously coming from that insecurity point of view. It's like, if you think about this, you know, playing as an experience you're sharing together, toys, if toys equal more pleasure, cool, bring it on. Like, there's no, it's not a threat. Like, she's not about to, like, you know, kick you out halfway through and go, actually, sorry, I'm gonna stick with, and
I don't really need you anymore.
If that happens, maybe that's a sign for you to be like, hey, I need to learn some stuff.
Good
if,
feedback.
If a vibrator or something can, you know, get you kicked out of the bedroom. But yeah, I think like that, so that obviously you get questions about that a lot, of like guys that aren't comfortable bringing in toys. But yeah, look, if you're a guy and you're not comfortable with it, just think about it as, look, you want them to have pleasure. Mm. It's like, if you want your partner to feel pleasure, if you want your partner to enjoy sex with you, if you let them bring their favorite toy in, that enhances how good the sex was as the sexual experience with you. So you should do it, because, like, you know, that experience versus the guy that doesn't let it in, I'll tell you who she's going to come back to want to have sex with again. It's the guy that there was no limits on, oh, no, you can't bring that in, or you said no, or you made her feel uncomfortable about having toys. Do it. Do all of it. Get comfortable. And if you're not comfortable, figure it out, because you're inhibiting both your partner's pleasure and your own, because it can be super fun playing with toys.
Yeah, that's it. Like, your experience with your partner shouldn't hinge on, like, what you get out of it. It should also be about their pleasure, and that's what makes the experience enjoyable. It's like, if you get more, then I fucking get more, because I know how much you've enjoyed it. And I have never sat down and been like, well, when we hooked up, we spent this percent of time with the toy and this percent of time with you, and like, hey, let me just reflect on our sex based on, you know, it's like, you're never looking at sex, dividing it up between like what you got from one thing and another thing. It's like, yeah, it's the whole experience. Like, and it, like you said, it only magnifies the pleasure, and it's never something that detracts from someone else. Like, it's just, I imagine that the people that feel like they're worried or feel like, well, a guy isn't doing a good enough job if a girl has to have a toy, it's like, there are people that have never used toys. Like, there are people that are so, have made that into such a big threat in their brain, because I've never experienced what the reality of that is. Like, like, sex with toys is, it's fucking awesome. It's like, it's just more goodness. It's more pleasure. It's more things to play with. It's more variety, you know? Like, it's such a cool thing about modern day technology, that we can have these like fancy little machines that do all these really fun things. Like, it's just stuff to experiment and play with and explore with. And it brings in novel experiences, and it brings in different types of pleasure. And it's like, I don't think that there should be this idea that there's a hierarchy of pleasure, and that pleasure from a human is better than pleasure from a toy. It's like, I don't even enjoy toys as much when I don't have you really close. Like, that's part of my experience with them. It's like, I'm always like, I want you here. Like, I get off on it more when I get to kiss you at the same time, or like, I can feel your hands or whatever it is. It's like, we switch around and move around and bring things in and out, but it's like, it centers around you and I connecting physically. And whether that's when we're actually like, when there's penetration or not, it's like, it's the connection that's there, and that's what's happening with it, and how we're feeling, and all those experiences. It's not like, okay, you sit over there and I'm going to do this now. It's like, no, like, I need you to be part of that experience. And that's what heightens it for me. It's not just that on it sitting on its own doing its own thing. It's combined with the whole thing.
I just thought of a, like, not to go down a tangent, but
we love tangents here.
It's like watching, you know, porn while you're having sex. It's like,
yeah,
it's an enhancer to the experience. Like, that can be super fun with your partner to sit down and put some porn on. Or even if you're playing by yourself, to put porn on. It's like, it's an addition to the experience. It doesn't take away from the thing. It's an enhancer. And it's like, that's the same as toys. It's like, men are visual, very visual, based on watching porn. It's like, it's super sexy watching your partner play with a toy, or like getting to watch you know, using a toy on your partner. It's like, embrace that bit of like, you know, that it's an enhancer to the experience. Don't think about it as a, it's not like a limited bandwidth thing of like, by introducing a toy, it takes away from you in any way. Yeah. So yeah, it's just something I thought about. So.
What about girls who are scared of toys? Should I talk about this?
You should probably talk about it. I don't know. My only advice would be, don't be scared about it. But
yeah. Okay. Well, I think maybe it's probably to do with how they're introduced, really, as well, as probably part of it. Mm. So I had been using toys solo for a long time. I bought, when I was in the US, I went online and bought like, I think I bought like 15 different types of toys. Vibrators, dildos, rabbits, like all these toys, because sex stores in America are so dirt cheap. So cheap. And this one store, it was bizarre. You could return toys like free of charge. You could just return them, they'd refund you. So I was like, cool, I'm just going to go and try everything and just keep the shit that I actually like. And I think I kept about two or three toys and sent back like 10 of them. Mm. And a lot of what happened was I had them arrive and they were a totally different size to what I thought they were going to be. So like a lot of the little tiny vibrators, I was like, what I thought I wanted a dildo here. Like what's going on? So like a lot of that stuff was just understanding how to actually look at a description of a toy and like know what I was going to get. Cause you buy some, I've only ever bought toys. Oh no, we've gone into sex stores more and more now. Like, but I very rarely do that. I tend to go online, one, cause they're cheaper. Two, shipping is like really easy. It's super discreet. And you get a really good variety. Like when you're in stores, like you don't.
I just sort of, when you talked about sex toys being discreet, the one you got delivered in the package. I don't know whether you want to talk about that here.
Clearly this particular shape, a very type of specific feel. Yeah.
That in a soft parcel bag that the delivery man had to carry to the door. So anyway, sorry to interrupt, but that just made me think about that discreet packaging.
That's so funny. So yeah, I tend to go online. But so my first lesson was just knowing what size toys are and knowing how to read that and fucking make sure you know what you're getting. But I had them for a really long time. So I kind of rotated between two or three toys. And then I think I added a couple more to my collection. And then I started adding in things that I wanted to use with other people, but I was never in a particular relationship that I felt like I was in a space that I could bring them in. So they were either super casual relationships where I didn't introduce toys, because I would only ever introduce toys when I felt comfortable or confident with someone. And then when I did start introducing toys, there were always toys for me, like for me to use, never toys for the guys to use. Like there would always be my own toys. I would tell them exactly what I wanted them to do or have to like instruct them. And they wouldn't really, not that they wouldn't have interest in it or they wouldn't be into it, but they'd never go out of their way to learn more about it. So like, whereas with you, like if there are any toys, anything that's being new, that's being used, like I always know you've tested them before we play with them. Mm. Like I always know that, like you've fucking tried the mouth gag on before I get to, like, it's like all the toys I know now that you always use them and test them and trial them and see how they feel and see if they're going to leave a mark, like all that kind of stuff. It's like, I know that you've trialed them, which I don't think a lot of people do outside of the BDSM community potentially. So I would always have to be the one in charge of that, which it still meant that I got to bring toys in. Like, so I only did that in one of my more long-term relationships where I was introducing toys with him. And it was definitely further into our relationship. Like maybe 4 or 5 months in, it was like, I started like talking about things and trying a few things. And it was like, yeah, it was just like me kind of bringing it in. But I had one experience where a guy, it was just like a one-night stand. He'd just like come over. I should have known, because I picked this guy up with this line that was like, it was so bad. So this was the line, and it worked. Worked a fucking treat. Not great with sex, but it worked. The line was, hey, my name's Microsoft. Can I crash at your place tonight?
So smooth.
And he was like, fucking yes.
I think this is the thing with guys. It's like, if I tried that on a girl, unmatched, like so quick. You could say the worst pickup line to a guy and he's like, yeah, I'm keen. But do I get to fuck you? Cool.
Oh my God. It was so funny. So he came over and we were like standing around or sitting around drinking for and chatting for ages and like, you know, just waiting for someone to make a move. And then we started making out on the couch and then he just went fucking bananas and he was super aggressive. And like, he was a little smaller than me, like, and now I'm like, he was probably exactly the same height as me, but like, he wasn't a big guy. And I just remember being like, man, is he trying to prove something to me? Like, and so like immediately just started doing stuff that I was like, you're trying to fuck me like you've seen guys fuck girls on porn. Mm. 100%. I was like, oh, you're literally playing out your favorite porno right now. This is what's happening. And he just kind of was like telling me all these things that he wanted me to do. And then he started dirty talking and all the, like, with all these things that I was like, I'm not into this dirty talk, like, at all. Like, this is just strange. And so I was kind of just responding, but a little bit like, it was always a little bit like, not totally connected to it. Like, I was a little bit delayed. I wasn't asking, saying much back. Like, my answers were short. I just knew that I was like, ugh. And he was like, and I think I'd mentioned that I had sex toys to him. And he was like, where's your vibrator? Get out your vibrator. And I was like, I kind of think I just ignored it. Like, a little bit of like, I didn't respond. And he was like, where's your vibrator? Get out your vibrator. And it wasn't a vibrator. It was the clit sucky one, the Satisfier. So it's not one that you just like hold on your clit. It's like, it's kind of a specific position.
Like a sniper rifle.
Yeah, it's the sniper rifle of clit stim toys. And it's one that is like quite low intensity and it gradually builds up. It's not like hardcore. And he was trying to have this fucking full blown, really rough sex. And I was just like, oh my God. And yeah, I ended up getting it out. And then he was trying to use it on me and he had no idea how to use it. And I was like, dude, like, you don't even know what you're doing and you're telling me to do this thing and it's just not working. And then I think I remember like kind of playing with it for a little while and then I just put it to the side and was like, no, dude, that's, it was just, and then I was like, please leave, please leave, please leave. Oh my God. And then, yeah, that was probably one of my worst experiences with a guy just being like, I'm going to pretend that I'm in porn and I'm going
to
do. So
even after your smooth Microsoft line about you crashing his ass, he came to your house?
Yeah, and then he didn't crash. Thank God. yeah, he hit me up again afterwards and I was like, nope, sorry. But that was, yeah, that was my first experience with a guy like really bringing in a toy, especially like early on. And it was a vibrator. Like all the other toys that I'd used previously were more like butt plug stuff. Mm. So it was like, you just fucking put it in and leave it in. It's like a set and forget. Yeah. So like those, and also like those kinds of things I think are less threatening for guys as well. Like, yeah, it doesn't need instructions. It's just like, boom, it's there. Guys get to look at it when they're fucking you doggy, like perfect. But yeah, that was with him and it just was like not good. But it was, I guess, the first time where someone had just in the middle of sex pulled out a sex toy and I was like, oh, okay, it's not like that hard to do. You just literally pull your sex toy out and it's right in the drawer by the bed, which is where everybody keeps their sex toys. So it's not hard to do. Like, and so that for me was like, okay, so you kind of can just do that whenever you want. And I think what you said before where we often we'll talk about maybe the things we want to do in sex beforehand, but then once the sex act begins or play, like we like to use the term play, but like once sex begins or even the foreplay, if you want to talk about like foreplay and then you might have oral sex or like you go through those kind of phases, it's like once all that begins, the talking about it stops. But I think what's important to know is that you're not entering a scene that can't be paused or rewound or like, hey, let's just interject with this thing here. Hey, I want to bring this in. Like, you can't not have conversation. And I think it's so important that people realize that they can break the fourth wall to a degree where they can just be like, hey, let me just talk to you for a moment and like snap out of the sex mode, which I think is hard for women who are really performing. And that was probably me where like, if I was like moaning and like getting really into it and like dirty talking or doing all these things, it's like, if I snap out, I'm like, hey babe, can you just grab the lube? Like, you know, it's like, were you even into that? Were you even like, was that real? And it's like, no, it's just that you can kind of flow in and out of those places. And it's okay to be like, I'm just going to talk more conversationally right now. And then, or talk, say something in your ear and then be back and be suddenly moaning or something. And it's kind of okay to be in and out of that. And it's more important that you're okay with that and getting what you want than trying to put on a show. Like, it is so much more important that you just break that occasionally if you need to get what you need or say something that you want or bring in a toy or ask them if they want to bring in a toy or whatever it is that you wanted to or try or ask or say. It's so important that you're okay with breaking that moment and knowing that it's not going to be weird. It's not going to be awkward. That moment will come back as soon as you get back into it. Like, you can come in and out of that. It's totally fine. That's what she said. So I think that was a lesson for me that I learned when that dude was like, hey, get your toy. And it was like, oh, he just asked me to do something and now I'm gonna like like exit the scene, and then I'll come back in and we're right back on. Like, and I was like, oh, okay. It's like, it's such a funny thing to experience something like that.
Well, I think that's where, like, you know, bringing, you know, all the stuff we've talked about, consent, you know, checking in, all of that stuff. It's like, if that's natural and you're talking the whole way through because you're asking for consent, you're making sure people are comfortable, you're asking what they like, then saying, hey, like, do you have a favorite toy you want to play with? Like, that's not out of place in that whole play experience. It's like, but if you're just fucking someone and then all of a sudden you're like screaming at them to get their toy, but you haven't talked to them for the last 20 minutes or however long it's been that you've been playing, it's like, it's going to feel weird and clunky and out of place. Like, whoa, stop. Okay, yep, grab the thing. It's like, but if the whole way through you're like, are you enjoying that? Is that good? Is there something better I can do? Do you like this or do you like that? Like, all the stuff we've just talked about. Yeah, I think it's super, it makes it really easy to be like, hey, I've got a, like, if you're a female, hey, I've got a toy that I want to use. Or as a guy, being, have you got a toy you like playing with? Have you got, you know, is there a toy in your drawer? Whatever it is, it's like, the more you talk through sex and the more you can get comfortable with that, and get you, so it makes it easier for both for you to ask someone questions and for them to voice up if you're doing something they're not comfortable with. So you're not like, the worst thing for me would be with a girl in the experience that you've talked about where they're just holding on hoping that it's over soon. Like, that's awful. Like, that, there's no way I'd want to have sex like that. So it's like, get comfortable with talking, you know, and as a guy, like, take control of that situation in the way of, like, start talking to the girl that you're with.
It's like, almost like, give her an opportunity to talk.
Yeah, like, to a degree. You want to make sure, like, if you're a single guy and you're hooking up with a girl and you want her to come back a second time, it's like, talk. Understand what she likes. Because if you just go in and just act out like you're acting out a porn the first time, she's, you know, the chances of her coming back a second time are lower if you're not trying to understand what she likes. So get in the conversation, start talking, and you don't have to be like on sex mode and then until it's done. I think that's one thing that right from the start, like, I think that's something I've always kind of done, but the more I've learned that and the more I've emphasized that, the better the whole experience is for hopefully everyone involved. So.
Yeah. And I think for women, it's like, it's okay to bring in toys. Like, it's okay to do that. And I think the more that we try and be careful and be considerate about the guy, it's like, the more that gives, that enables them to feel the threat or feel worried about it, because they suddenly will respond in that way. But it's, if you treat it casually, it does give permission to other people to be casual about it, because it doesn't become a big thing. When we treat it like it's something special, it makes it a thing. Like, something that I really like doing is, I love asking people, hey, tell me about your sexuality, or tell me about your sexual personality. Like, what are you into sexually? Like, I love having that conversation and bringing it up, and maybe not like the first conversation that you have, but certainly something where, like, if it's something that I've grabbed a coffee with and I'm planning on seeing them again, it's like, hey, what are you into sexually? Like, tell me about the stuff that you enjoy. Because it's almost a way for me to find out what they like. And then I can do the things that I know that they like. So I ask them, what are you into? What's your sexuality like? What's your sexual personality? What are your experiences like? Like, what have you enjoyed in the past? And then that's when I might ask, hey, what toys have you used? What have you played with? Like, what have you done? Tell me more about it. And then I'll either find out something they've done that I haven't done, and I'm like, oh my God, I'd love to play with that. Or they haven't done something, and I'm like, oh, have you tried this? Like, or have you used this toy? I have this thing. Would you be keen to, like, potentially play with it? Or, like, this could be really fun. And you don't necessarily have to make any promises of using it or doing anything, especially if they're not sure. Like, just being like, oh, I have this thing, so if we want to, we could totally, like, have some fun with this, and we'll talk about it. Like, I remember having that conversation with someone recently, and it was just like, what are you into? We both talked about it. It was a really cool thing to just get an idea of what they're interested in. And I told them what I was into and what I'd done and what I liked. And then when they were here, I was like, let me show you something. And I just went and showed them all my toys. And we literally, it was like, pick a mix. And it was like, it was the best thing ever. It was like, pick something.
Yeah.
And like, it wasn't like a forced thing. It was like a very natural, like, hey, like, let me show you something. And then we actually came back and we're just chatting and hanging out. And then I was like, hey, I want you to go and pick something.
Sounds good.
Boom.
Good tips. All right.
Yeah, I think so.
We've done it.
Is there anything else?
Cover everything?
Yeah, we talked about toys. We talked about people that are a little afraid of them, what that could mean, maybe how to bring them in, how to bring it up early. I feel like that's been the theme of this podcast. Bring topics that are hard up early.
Communicate.
That's
talk.
What she said.
All right, Kate Gordon.
All right, Greg Wolf. Signing off.
Episode 2. in the bag.
Fucking wrap it up.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.